Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, we are talking about a dynamic that a lot of couples fall into, and that is sex becoming transactional. It's not sexy, it's not fun, but we talk to you today about how you can rebuild that connection in a really organic way.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I am Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And I think that this topic we're exploring today, we're going to jump right into it because it's a good one. It's an important one. And I can always tell when the topic is going to be like something that's super useful for couples when there's a little tension or difficulty between you and I, even like sort of planning the episode.
Yeah.
And I think that that tension actually helps because we have some like different perspectives around this, or at least we've been in different positions in this topic. And it's around physical intimacy. It involves emotional, but it's really looking at like this idea of sex beginning to feel transactional in a relationship.
That it's like a reward system. Like if you do this and you do it really well, I'll give you sex.
Yeah. And we're doing it. Tara actually had the idea for it.
Yeah. So I'm beginning the intimacy series with one of my couples yesterday, and it just stood out. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to do an episode on this tomorrow because this was yesterday. And, you know, the male partner in the relationship said, like, I've been doing really good and I've been vulnerable and I've been doing everything that she wants of me, and we haven't had sex in 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, like I just had that gut thing, like, oh, okay. Like there's still tension around sex and it being transactional. And so that's kind of what gave me the idea, because we processed it in this session. It was a difficult session, but they came out of it like, oh my gosh, we have to talk about this, because this is why there's still tension there. This is why she's so relieved when she gets her period, because she doesn't have to worry about it. Like, that's not normal, but it is normal.
It's totally normal.
So that's why we're doing it. It came out of an experience I had with one of my couples that we're starting the intimacy series with. And we also know that, like, that's where a lot of blocks start to happen. When couples start talking about their intimacy, there's just, like, these big blocks. And so the more blocks we can remove and psychoeducate and share our own experiences, like, that's why we want to do this. Because the unhealthy dynamics that are created when sex is used and as a reward system or transactional are many, but we're going to talk about a few.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the first thing it does is it just sets up a lot of tension, because in it, there's like this idea that if I do this, then I will get that. That if I'm not getting it, I'm being punished.
Yeah.
If I am getting sex, then I'm being rewarded. And so then it becomes like this idea of, like, we've already used the word, it's like transactional.
Right.
You know, and there's always in a transactional, there's like a boss and an employee, a parent and a child. You know, it's like, it's just not a healthy, equal dynamic within a couple.
And I want to share this because it's not intentional and it's not conscious. A lot of this is unconscious. Like, you know, my couple yesterday, it wasn't like, oh, like I've been really vulnerable, so I'm going to get it. It was just this like perceived organic, like, oh, well, I'm trying to do everything I can to make us feel more connected. So isn't that just the outcome of it? And because they haven't talked about it, right, it's like they're doing all of the things, but they're not talking about their physical intimacy. They're not being transparent with each other. It starts to become very unconscious, which is then what creates the tension.
I think also what it does is it actually is, it's counterproductive. Like, I think at the end of the day, it creates a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
For both people. I think it actually ends up lowering desire, right? Because what is like organic and sexy about, like, if I do A, B, and C, then I get D, you know? And that is, you know, that's kind of the bottom line vibe that it starts to create. And like Tara's saying, it's like just such a natural dynamic, because especially we see couples come in, and we've certainly felt this the same, where like, you know, say one person is like, gosh, like, I just miss like us, our physical connection. Like mm-hmm. we used to have such a great sex life and it was so fun and it was playful. And then the other person is like, well, you know, yeah, but we don't go out on dates and we don't talk. And so then it seems just extremely natural then mm-hmm. that they're like, okay, well, if I
yeah.
start asking you out on dates, and I
planning quality time,
and I really work on being emotionally present around the house and check in with you and share my emotions, because that's what you're saying you're wanting, well, then you're naturally just going to want to have sex with me, you know. And then when that doesn't happen, especially I think we get impatient when it doesn't happen
yeah.
in the timeline that we want it to happen, then we're like, well, what's the freaking point? I'm doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And yet my need is still going unmet.
And let me just say, both partners here are, again, responsible for this dynamic, because let's just say this is, right, you and I. Okay, well, now I'm expecting you to be emotionally available, consistent, planning date nights. And if you don't, well, now I'm going to punish you by not having sex with you. So not only is it a reward system, it's a punishment system. Because if you're not doing all the things I'm expecting you to do, and again, this is internal, because I'm not saying like, hey, let's talk about what happened today, or let me tell you like what needs were met. No, we don't do that. So now I'm like, well, he totally like missed the mark on this one. So, and again, I'm not saying that we do that now and it is unconscious, but we used to do that all the time. I'm like, why would I give him sex if he hasn't taken me on a date in 4 months? No thanks. And what happens is now we've externalized sex, and now sex becomes this dark cloud of tension over our relationship. And that is the one thing we are trying to dissolve. We don't want it to be this dark cloud or this source of tension. We want it to be this organic, loving connection. It's the closest you can be to your person. And so the more we can help ourselves and you guys understand what healthy physical intimacy is and how it can very quickly hijack us into something that doesn't feel good, that makes us have expectations, and then we're constantly disappointed. Like, then there's just a ton of grief around it, and now we don't even know how to connect anymore. We've been there. That's why we're doing this episode today. And we know that some people, it's going to be controversial. We know we're going to hear from many listeners, like, please, we want to. We learn from each other. That's our relationship renovation community, and we love it. Again, our job is to like talk about how do we have these discussions around intimacy in every realm so it feels really natural and organic for us, and it's not a reward punishment system where then everyone's disappointed and everyone's having expectations that are not realistic at all.
And the two probably most common dynamics that just naturally feed back into this transactional approach to sex, first of all, are just the high desire partner and the low desire partner, right? That oftentimes that high desire partner is sort of like trying to figure out, how do I get this need met,
yeah,
right? And the lower desire partner, you know, oftentimes is searching for stuff internally, is searching for this connection with the partner that might reignite that desire
yeah,
with them.
True.
And so the natural conversation is like, okay, like, you're not feeling attracted to me. You're not feeling desire towards me. Well, what would help with that, right? And it can even come from, I think, like a really good place. Like, I think you can enter into a transactional relationship mm-hmm. around physical intimacy with very good intentions, you know? And so that's the first one. The second one, and it's similar but different, is just people who I feel more connected when there's physical connection versus I feel more connected when there's emotional connection.
Right.
Right. And it becomes this like, well, who gets what first?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, out of oftentimes like a super positive place, like, I want to figure out what makes you feel connected and loving and loved, Tara. Right?
Right.
And you assume you want to know the same out of me. And so wouldn't it just make sense that if you tell me what you're needing, and if I start trying to do that, that then I should
expect
yeah. that it's going to pay off.
And we're going to give you guys some tools because, again, it's subtle. It's subtle, but we also know it creates blocks, tension, fear, and then we don't talk about it. So then it builds up and then we're disappointed. And then we move into, like you said, that boss, employee dynamic, parent, child, not hot, not sexy, no good for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to give you the questions to ask, and then we're going to give you some tools to move towards authentic intimacy. Yeah. Like, it's pretty awesome.
And that's the shift that we want to talk about, is that, like, moving out of a transactional approach to intimacy on both sides, really, you know, the transaction of getting your emotional needs met yeah. as well, but moving towards an authentic intimacy where sex is connection, sex is not currency. Sex is an expression of an emotional connection. It's playful. It's based upon shared desire.
And can I just say, from our own experience, like, before we had all of the tools, especially after the twins were born and there was just like a whole lot of transition and I didn't even know who I was anymore. And then you had that pressure. Like, I remember we went on a date night, like, after the twins were born, like a few months later. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to want to have sex tonight. Like, oh my gosh. And you probably were expecting that, right? But we never talked about it. And so, like, it built and built. Like, when we moved into the place where you weren't expecting it, where it wasn't this reward, where it wasn't a source of, like, tension, like, I felt so much more calm and the ability to be me and not experience it as a source of tension. So now I get to initiate more because I'm not like, oh, right? And I have initiated yeah. more. There's something to be said about, like, really looking at how it's creating anxiety for you individually yeah. and then how that shows up as a couple.
So this is the first one I want to, like, push back a little bit and clarify something, right? Because I don't know whether I ever expected it. And I think there's a lot of people on that high desire side or on that physical, you know, really craving physical intimacy side, where to say, like, expect is, it doesn't feel true to me. Because it wasn't like I went out on dates or I would open up about my emotions for a week or whatever, and then I was, like, expecting it. But I was hoping for it.
Yeah.
And I was let down.
Right.
But it's important for that other person, because I think even getting out of that, if you're going to break a dynamic, you have to break it from both sides, right?
Totally.
So if Tara wants it to get out of the transactional range, I certainly have to work on anything that looks like expectation. And I even have to begin to realize that being hopeful and then maybe let down looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to have to manage my let down and my disappointment or my frustrations. But Tara, I think, has some work on this as well.
Yeah.
To maybe let go of, like, this idea that it is expected. Because when you yeah. talk about that date, and we've talked about that and thrown it out there in podcasts before, where you were like, oh, he's expecting this. My recollection of that date, quite yeah. honestly, was sitting in that, it was like at a, like, a kind of outside patio at a bar downtown, and just looking at you and just feeling like this sense of relief that it was just the two of us. Like, I don't yeah. really remember
yeah.
being on that date expecting it, but it's so tied into your story that I was expecting it. And so some of that is, like, that you put that on.
I totally did, but hang on. I also sensed your disappointment when it wouldn't happen.
Yes.
So and that, then
and
that's, that,
and that's totally fair.
So then that's why I was reading into it. I was like, oh my gosh, we didn't. He's disappointed. What do I do now? And that's when I started to, like, get even more into my story. And so then, remember I said, like, it's creating a lot of anxiety for me. And so here's what I feel like started our process. I'm like, we have to talk about it. We don't talk about it. We only have these assumptions and these expectations and disappointments. Like, we don't talk about it. And, like, if you're, let's just say, giving me a massage or something, I'll say, like, hey, my story is that, like, you want this to end up in sex. And I know that that creates a lot of anxiety for me. So I need you to tell me that that's definitely not your expectation, that you're just doing some non-sexual affection right now to make me feel like comforted and loved. Like we had to get really specific because my story was you wanted it and if you didn't get it, you would be disappointed and then I would feel shame and then I would feel guilt and then that just created a whole dynamic where I didn't even want to deal with it at all.
Well, I think what we had to work on and we still continue to play with this and figure it out is managing the tension around it. Right?
Yeah.
And seeing that as like tension is created by two points that are in relationship to one another, right?
Yeah.
And that in order to manage the tension around physical intimacy, we both had to sort of take ownership for finding ways to talk about it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like a big thing you used to always say to me was like, well, I didn't even know that you've been thinking about this for the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
You're like, how am I supposed to know? And you know, how are we going to get through this if you don't bring it up? Because I don't want to always be the one who brings it up, EJ. And so then it was like, okay, all right. So it's important that I let her in, even if it's saying like, hey, I'm feeling tense or I'm feeling a lot of like those feelings towards you and that nothing's happening and that's hard for me. Mm. So I was like, okay, that's what she needs that from me. And that was like sort of our first step on this portion of it. The second step was figuring out the when and how, because there were many times where I'd try it and the when or the how didn't work. And I had to work around that. Like some, I say stuff sometimes and I'm like, oh God, that's like, so like, duh. Like, why didn't I realize that? Like, but bringing it up when we're going to bed was never a good thing. it would almost always end up in an argument. And it wouldn't be like I would be bringing it up in order to try to have sex. It would be I would be bringing it up because I was thinking about it at that point because the day is finally over. We're laying in bed together. And I'd be like, oh, you know, we haven't talked about this in a long time. Is it okay to bring it up? And you'd be like, what? What are you doing? I'm going to bed. Like, no, this is going to like ruin my night's sleep. And I'd be like, okay, so that's not. And then I would kind of screw up and do that a few times. And it was like, okay, like, then when do I bring it up? And then one time I like brought it up in like Home Goods. And then I got all bent out of shape because we used to have this thing called the Frisky Scale where we were like, okay, maybe that's a safe way to check in. Like, where are you on the Frisky Scale? And we were at Home Goods and I said, where are you on the Frisky Scale? And she said like a -5. And I was like, ugh. But so, yeah, you have to find ways to talk about it, but then you have to find how do we talk about it and when do we talk about it?
And like, I'm just going to share a win for us this morning. Like you woke up this morning, you're like, oh, I had all these like sex dreams about you last night and they were so real. And
this is very personal.
Sorry. And had we not have done this work, I would have been like, oh my gosh, does that mean he's expecting sex tonight? Like he had these sex dreams. Like I would have gone into the shame and guilt. And I literally had zero anxiety, but I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like it's 5 a.m.
Like, well, it was funny because I kept having these very realistic dreams that was happening. And then I would wake up and be like, oh, it's not happening. She's not.
Yeah. Even, but
if I wake her up, she'll kill
but
me.
But I'm saying like my response to you sharing yes, it, like it's so much more free and playful now. Like it's not like I'm internalizing it as shame and guilt. And now it's a source of tension at all. And that is because we've done so much work around it, sharing our needs, talking about it more. And so that's kind of what we're going to get into right now.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like we've done a good job of sort of naming it, right? That sex can easily become something that feels like I did this, so now I get that. We want it to be this shared emotional experience. It's that sex is a physical expression of emotional connection. Mm-hmm. And even like I see in our relationship now, where because we have that close emotional connection, I'm much less anxious about the physical connection. But I didn't even realize before that part of my frustration, anxiety around us not feeling physically connected was that we were also not emotionally connected. I was just like dissonant to that. Like I just wasn't seeing it, right? So now we want to look at like, okay, like for you couples out there where you're like, yeah, feel this, like that's where we're at too. We struggle with that. How do you begin to move towards sex being a physical expression of emotional connection?
Of feeling deeply connected, right? Not a reward system, not a punishment system. And of course, you guys hear us say this all the time, but it's the building of desire through emotional safety. And to me, emotional safety means we can be transparent with each other, right? And so, like with this couple I was working with yesterday, like, right, he had like been having and waiting, like I've been vulnerable, like it's been 3 weeks, like every single day for 3 weeks, he was like building upon his story of like, it's going to happen today. And not once had they talked about it. And then for her, she had gotten her cycle. And internally, she's like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm relieved. Like, I don't have to worry about this for like 7 days. And she kept that to herself. So he didn't know. And I said, listen, you guys have been doing amazing at building emotional safety. So you have to be transparent with each other. Like, when you feel relief that you got your period, your partner has to know that. And he has to be able to hear it in a way where he's not reacting to it, but like, thank you for letting me know that. What is still the anxiety that's creating for him for 3 weeks? He's building this pressure and expectation, but not talking to her about it. So she can sense that unconsciously. And then she cowers back, right? She's cautionary because it's still there. Even if you're not explicitly saying it, the tension is there or the pressure is there. So we were able to have this awesome conversation around how it's been for both of them. They both could hear each other, validate each other's experience. Was it still a difficult conversation? Absolutely. But they got through it. They're talking about it and they recognize we still don't have our system set up because intimacy for them is one of the biggest issues in their relationship. And it's taken us a while to build the emotional safety to even get there. So like, of course it's going to, like, they're going to stumble and it's going to be clunky, but they're so dedicated to deepening their intimacy that they're willing to do this work. So transparency, now that they have that emotional safety, they're going to share that with each other and they're going to talk about it without any expectation of anything except for just not letting it build like a little pressure cooker creates pressure. If you're not talking about it, that's what happens in relationships around intimacy and sex. So as you know, if you're an avid listener, you get our newsletter that we recently just started our coaching program. And so we've had a lot of discovery calls. And what we've noticed is there's not just one size that fits all.
So we took all of the information that we received when we met with these couples in these discovery calls, and we created 3 separate tiers.
What we just created feels like the most accessible for any couple, and that is now the Relationship Renovation At Home podcast membership.
So the At Home podcast membership is going to work through Patreon. So you'll sign up for a Patreon membership, and with that, you're going to get the couple's manual, and you can either get that printed version or you can get a downloadable version. And for each lesson in it, there's going to be an exclusive podcast episode that you can listen to before or during the time that you're working on it. Beyond the videos, there's going to be a monthly live Q&A that Tara and I host. And during that time, you'll just have the opportunity to ask questions, to get clarity on issues that maybe you and your partner are struggling. But it's going to happen every single month, and you're going to be a part of it.
We get to support you through that journey in a very affordable way.
So then the next level is the certified coach package. And what that's going to include is 2 75-minute sessions a month. That's just you, your partner, and the coach. Access to a private Slack channel to receive coaching Monday through Friday between 9 and 5. You can pose questions. You can throw up struggles you're having, and you'll get coaching during the week. And full access to the podcast membership. And now the final tier of our 3 tiers is the Founders Premium Package. That is working privately with just Tara and myself. You meet with us twice a month for 75 minutes in which we help work you through the couple's manual, which you'll also receive a hard copy of. You'll have a private Slack channel where Tara and I will be interacting with you between Monday and Friday, 9 to 5. And as with every package, you'll have access to the podcast membership.
We've been working with couples in this model for over 10 years. We really go in depth to each of these lessons, and there's 31 lessons, by the way. So it takes most couples 6 to 9 months, just so you have an idea of what that looks like and how long the process will be. However, you will know when you've met your goals. So for some couples, they might need a membership for 6 months, for some 9 months, for some maybe longer. regardless of if you decide one of these tiers fits you or you just decide to listen to our podcast free of charge, we're just so happy to be creating more accessibility to help your relationship thrive. That is our hearts. That is our passion. So thank you for trusting us. Again, reach out. We love hearing from you.
And if you have interest in any of these packages, right now, the easiest thing to do is just to email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Just let us know what you're interested in, what you want to do, and we'll get back to you and help you out. Just to normalize it, for all couples, intimacy is like sort of the baseline issue, you know? And because I've had couples who came into couples counseling and their sex life is actually still pretty good. But there's this other component of intimacy that's messed up. It's just like, it is really difficult to create a consistent, intimate relationship across the spectrum from gentle, kind words, non-sexual touch, all the way to sex. Like, it is difficult. And at the baseline is what Tara was saying, is this emotional safety quotient. And that is, I can be me completely. I can be me on a good day. I can be me on a bad day. I can be me lonely. I can be me disconnected. I can be me loving you. I can be me annoyed by you. Like that we can speak about anything. Mm-hmm. And that I'm attuned. I can tell when you're upset and I can engage with you. That you can get my attention if you need it. Mm-hmm. That you accept me in whatever place I'm at. Like, that has been a game changer in our relationship. Like, that we know now when we're going through a difficult time that we're there for one another.
I'm glad you said that. And thank you for being there and for being attuned. But is that like using verbal appreciation instead of like a sex reward? Like, right, even with this couple yesterday, he's like, oh, I've just been so vulnerable and I share my emotions and I check in with her during the date, da, da, da. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, are you seeing that? Well, yeah. Are you appreciating that? Well, no, because he should have been doing that the whole time. No. These are skills that we learned. You have to be able to appreciate, like, I really appreciate you being vulnerable right now. I know this can be really hard for you because that's what's going to build the emotional and physical intimacy is through those. So instead of thinking of it as a reward, like, oh, like when he's right here and doing this, then I will give him sex.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was always a sticking point with us as well, because in the moments maybe where I would get to a level of frustration and bring up physical intimacy, you would say, well, this isn't happening. This isn't happening.
Yeah.
But I also didn't feel like I was getting much verbal appreciation for other things I was doing. So so then it would always force me into this place. It wouldn't force me. I would go to a place of defensiveness because I would feel like I would have to like name off, well, here's the things I'm doing that I think are what you've asked for me. And then you'd be like, well, you're being defensive. And I was like, well, but like, okay, like if we're not going to be physically connected, then I need some validation. So if it's not going to be transactional, right? If the one person who desires those physical things, if he's going to let go or she's going to let go of, you know, it being a reward system, then they have to have acknowledgement.
Yeah.
They have to have some other acknowledgement. They have to have somebody see them and say, hey, I noticed, like, I know it's not easy for you to open up about your emotions, but you did. And I really like love that. And it made me feel connected to you.
Yes.
Cause then there's like, oh, okay. Like,
yes,
I'm not just getting told like I'm screwing this up, or I'm not just walking around sort of empty in this area that I want to be full.
And there's, can I just share this too? Cause this just came up when you were talking, but like so many people think like, oh, my partner's touching me. That automatically means they want more. And like, I know that you've gotten so much better at non-sexual affection. Like you're not right. And you would say this, like, Tara, I wasn't really an affectionate person. And I know you're way more like touchy-feely and holding hands and snuggling. And that's not you. And I said the importance of like, gosh, non-sexual affection is everything. Because if you just touch me every time and there's this, you know, there's a goal end of having sex, like that doesn't feel good for me. And so like I continue and I want to continue to get better. Like when you're just hugging me and kissing me, just because you want to do that non-sexual affection, like that is verbal appreciation. Like you get me, you're attuned to me, and you're touching me, not just based on, because we definitely have different physiological bodies, you know, like your body is way more higher desire sexually than mine at this stage in my life. And so for me, like when you touch me and it's non-sexual, it feels really safe. And I've got to say thank you more for when you do that. Because that means it also makes it like balanced. It feels more balanced when we are physically intimate. But some people, like they only touch me when they want to have sex. And I mean, that means that's a go. How do you guys share what your needs are around that? Because that for some people might not feel okay.
Yeah. And that comes to a whole other thing in building this emotional safety is there has to be a place for both people to talk about what their unmet needs are,
yeah,
and have the other person be able to hear and validate.
Yep.
And again, we totally struggled with that both ways. That when Tara would tell me the ways that her emotional needs weren't getting met, I would get defensive and go on the offense. And in my perception, you did very much the same thing. That like when I would voice my needs, it would be like, well, you don't do this, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it needs to be is it needs to be a little more like, okay.
Yeah.
I hear it. Please tell me more. And that's where the whole differentiation, which you haven't listened to that podcast, it's amazing, with Leanne Rogers, it's probably about 6 or 7 episodes ago or more, is that I can hear Tara say difficult things, ways I'm not meeting her needs, and it's okay. I'm okay still.
Yeah.
I'm still a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I still love you. And yeah, I do struggle to meet those needs. Please tell me more and tell me why that's important to you and tell me what you like. And then I'll do my best to really take that in and I'll be responsive without there being a price tag on it, that I'm going to meet those needs so that you meet not my needs.
And but here's what's important. You have to continually talk about it or it builds up. And we're still getting better at that, right? Like there's times in the morning where like we hug each other and I'm like, oh, well, we haven't hugged for 3 days. You totally forgot about our morning hugs. And I start to think of it at like, and I'm like, oh no, that's not healthy, but we haven't talked about it. We haven't done our check in like, hey, because I know for you, you need more verbal appreciation for like everything that you do. And then for me, I need more of the non-sexual affection. So we have to check in like when we're sharing what we need. And our partner's like, absolutely. Like you were honest. You're like, I'm not a very affectionate person, but I hear that that's important to you. I'm going to try harder. Like we just check in, like, because we both want to meet each other's needs, but we have to remind each other sometimes of what those needs are. We're just going to forget in our busy lives. And, you know, like I have to keep it like on the forefront of my mind. Like EJ loves verbal praise, right? He loves physical touch. I love non-sexual touch. I love when you appreciate me. I love when we do the morning hugs together, right? So being able to have that emotional safety so you can have these check-ins and talk about, oh my gosh, so many things. What is it like to be the low desire and the high desire partner? Like people don't talk about that. They just assume low desire partner has got it easy, is totally in control, and higher desire partner is going without. Both are grieving in their own separate ways and not talking about it. We have a whole podcast on high frisky, low desire, high desire, and just ways to talk about it and like get in and recognize that it's hard for both and that it fluctuates throughout the relationship. But if you're talking about it and being transparent about it, it's not going to hijack you in the other way where sex becomes a source of tension and pressure. Again, that's why we did this podcast today.
So here, we'll give you a couple of points of action with your partner,
like
two sort of conversation starters around this. The first is the both of you guys sitting down and each partner names ways they want to feel valued outside of sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like because ultimately, making sex non-transactional then puts a little bit of pressure upon how do I find other mm-hmm. ways to make my partner feel appreciated. And so if both of you guys are like, hey, you know, what makes me feel valued? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what we really, that's one of our base desires in our relationship with our primary person, you know, with our husband, our wife, our partner, is we want to feel valued.
Okay, so I'm going to use this. What makes you feel valued outside of sex?
Your attention.
What does that look like?
Giving me like your full attention, like stopping, sitting, putting everything away. Sorry, kids, like, no, can you go to the other room? I'm talking to your dad. Like when I have your full attention,
okay.
When you do things like I've told you this before, when you like slow down, put your hands on my face, give me a kiss, like when it's like when everything else is less important, everything else moves to the background. Because I think that's what people who do crave that physical connection, that sexual connection is, that's what happens then is like, everything else goes away. You don't concentrate on much other than your partner when you're connecting in that way. Mm-hmm. So that's a way that's non-sexual, just like when I have your attention.
Yeah, love it.
I feel valued.
Yeah.
And I'll flip it around.
And just so everyone knows, I'm so inattentive. Oh my heavens. It's something so hard that I have to work on because like all over the place, especially now with all my perimenopause stuff. But
well, and I think that's like why
sometimes. So I have to like focus. I have to focus on
sexual affection is difficult for you because it's like everything else has to go away for a little while.
But I have to, but for me, I have to be like, it's like an intention of mine. Like every day I'm going to find ways to let EJ know I am attentive to him in this, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, usually it'll be somewhere in between 5 and 10 minutes. That's about my
maybe
span.
Maybe 2 to 3.
Okay.
What makes you feel valued?
What makes me feel valued is, yeah, kind of like creating experiences that are different than what we do for like our normal week. Like, hey, let's go on a hike or, I don't know, maybe being like more of the planner. Like, yeah, taking steps toward creating a different activity outside of like the routine piece because I get so wrapped up into routine and like rigidity that I follow it, but then I get bored easily and then I kind of like can blame you for getting bored. So I feel like what makes me feel valued is that knowing that you're trying to create other experiences outside of just our normal routine and hugs and like playful energy. That makes me feel really valued because you know that that's important to me. I just get stuck in my systems, call it my little OCD. Yeah. So there you go. We just modeled that. So you're going to name ways that you want to feel valued outside of sex.
And another question that the two of you guys can ask each other and have a really genuine, open-hearted conversation is we have to talk about sex, you know, and what do we want sex to be? And so asking your partner, how do you want sex to feel? You know, what are the qualities that you want in our sexual relationship?
Yeah. Are you asking me?
Tara.
For me, I just want it to feel calm. And I want it to feel like free, calm, organic as much as it can be. I mean, there are things about like creating that quality time together so you can at least have time for the two of you without the obligation of sex for sure. But like, I don't know, I want it to feel free, organic as much as it can and calm and just natural. Like for me, it's just natural and where both of us are initiating and it feels really balanced and equal. How about for you?
I was just thinking like that. That's for whatever reason, like that's a hard one right now. Like it's hard to describe. Like I think I'd like it to be like special. Mm. Like I think that's where I'm at. This is like different. Like I think a lot of couples, I think us, like it's gotten to this place where it's like this thing we kind of fit in. Like we have a moment. Let's get a quickie. You know?
Yeah.
And that there's something like it has its own space, mm-hmm. you know, like a date, you know, like a date, like, and you miss that too, like getting dressed up, mm-hmm. going out, you know, looking good, smelling good for one another, like having that thing where it's not like rushed, like that it has its time, it has its place, and it's special. Like that seems really neat, because I think like
that so goes much, hand in hand with my values outside of sex.
Yeah. Well, early in relationship, like that spontaneity is kind of the neat thing about it. Like you're just crazy about each other. Like that was just, that was super fun. And I don't crave that. It doesn't have to be that, but I do think I just crave it just being like special.
Yeah.
And it having its own space.
I love that. And,
that sounds like really nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, again, you guys can always reach out if you have questions. You're like, how do I even bring this up? Or how do we know if we have emotional safety? We have the whole emotional safety assessment on our website now that you can go and take that little 5-minute assessment piece to know, because we're here to support you. So some closing reflections, right? Sex, it's not a prize or reward system, because that can just get clunky. It can start to feel like pressure, expectations, disappointment, not good when it comes to sex. It's a practice of connection, right? You're using your emotional safety that you're developing, connecting in a physical way, and it feels calm and that there's no tension to it. Heaven, right? And so, we just encourage you to reflect on how you can shift from transactional intimacy, if that is happening, to mutual chosen intimacy. Yeah.
And just as always, knowing that this is like probably one of the most natural dynamics to fall into, mm-hmm. and that it's workable, and that you're not uniquely broken or screwed up around this, that it's just, I think it's just an incredibly easy dynamic to fall into that unfortunately sort of keeps you both from getting what you need, that we don't want,
absolutely.
We don't want anything to be transactional. Like we don't want a balance sheet in the relationship. We got into something where I was like totally being balance sheety about something a couple weeks ago. And it was just me keeping track of like, well, if you ask this and I don't get that. And it wasn't even about sex, but it was just like in general, like let's get out of this like transactional thing and let's get into just mutual connection, openness, support, love. Like, doesn't that sound, that sounds really nice.
Yeah. So, we would love to hear from you after listening to this podcast. Again, we learn from you just as we hope you learn from us. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?